and a Seljuk Turkish emir whose name in Greek probably renders the Turkish name Chanka. He had seized power at Smyrna, the modern city of Izmir, and built a fleet which he launched against Constantinople. Now, most of these ships were actually manned by Greek Christians. They were simply forced to serve their new Turkish master. And the result was that Alexis was in grave danger of being besieged in his capital. This occurred in 1092, and this is when Alexis started writing his appeals to Pope Urban II and to Robert of Flanders and probably to other Western princes who were long familiar with military service in the East. Fortunately, Alexis managed to check these threats to his capital. He got rid of the Pecheneks by simply bribing a more vicious Turkish tribe to the east, the Cumans, to liquidate them. He also got rid of Chanka and his fleet by inciting the principal Turkish political figure in Asia Minor, Kılıcı Arslan, ruling from Konya, to attack Chanka as a rival and so eliminate that threat. By the time the First Crusade began to appear in Constantinople in the late summer of 1096, the worst threats to Alexis's capital had passed. But in 1092, when Alexis sent out those appeals, he was in a desperate situation. He had a lot of precedents for doing this, going back into the 9th century. Earliest one was in 839, we know of, by the Emperor Theophilus. And in those appeals, we suspect, because the original letter doesn't survive, but we have reason to suspect that Alexis not only appealed for military aid to Constantinople, but played upon the Western interests and notions and love of Jerusalem, that he knew the pilgrimage routes were being disrupted. The Byzantines were familiar with Western European pilgrims for the last 125 years, and that element was probably in the original appeal. So what Alexis sent to the West were mixed appeals. He also probably wrote to anyone who could help him. So not only did Urban II receive an appeal, but also many of the leading princes of Western Europe. And that was a good way on the part of Alexis to hedge his bets. He wasn't quite sure what the main authority was in Western Europe. And finally, Alexis intimated and over the course of the years talked to two different popes about the possibility of ending the schism of 1054. And one of the breakthroughs for the launching of the First Crusade is that Urban lifted the ban of excommunication on the imperial family. Essentially, the patriarch and his clergy were under excommunication, but not the imperial family, and how far it extended elsewhere in the Orthodox community was unclear. But when the Western Europeans showed up in the Byzantine world and in the Levant, they didn't treat the Greeks as heretics or enemies, not officially. They were still regarded as members of a single church, and that will have important consequences in the organization of the initial Crusader states. Well, Urban II had a good reason to pick up this appeal, and he did so for several reasons, many of which were elucidated in previous lectures, that is to assert the spiritual authority of the papacy, to carry out that ideal that the Pope alone is the greatest authority in Western Europe. But more immediately, the launching of a crusade would dramatically demonstrate his power as Pope, especially after the less than successful fighting against Holy Roman Emperor Henry IV, efforts to launch military aid to the East by Gregory VII that went nowhere. It was very much in Urban's own interests to launch such an expedition. And with that in mind, he traveled north from Rome in 1095. He held a preliminary council at Piacenza in northern Italy, consulting with a number of important bishops, both Italian and French, and then crossed the Alps into France and combined his tour with major efforts to crack down on abuses in the French church. He was on extremely bad terms with King Philip I, who, according to Urban, had a bigamous marriage, and Philip wasn't a pretty impressive king anyway. Even less impressive was Robert Curthose, the Duke of Normandy, and his brother William Rufus in England. That they were hardly up to the same standards of William the Conqueror. So Urban spent most of his time contacting several important individuals, notably Raymond of Toulouse, the Count of Toulouse in southern France, who had served in Spain previously, and the Bishop of Le Puy in southern France, Audemer, who ended up representing Urban on the First Crusade. We know that he consulted with them, probably with other leaders of the First Crusade as well.